T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
ABC Saturday Night Football will be a 5 o'clock kick down in Eugene, and it'll be heard right here on The Fan as the number 20 Oregon Ducks host number 7 Stanford. And it's such a big game that ESPN's College Game Day will be making its 10th visit to Eugene on Saturday morning. Reese Davis is the host, entering his 4th year, and he joins us now. Good morning, Reese. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing really well.
Fantastic.
You've got a busy week. We were actually just had the TV on. You were hosting Get Up this morning in New York City. And this leads me to the question, what does a week of prep for game day look like? Because there's so many working parts, and you've got to just be worn down during college football season.
You know, maybe I would be if it weren't something that I love so much. I think I have the best job in television. It's a tremendous show with a great group of people, probably all told when you consider the people who help us get the show on the air back in Bristol, maybe a team of roughly approaching 100 people. There are probably 70 that travel every week with us, from people who set up the stages, drive the trucks and the buses and everything. It's a great team feeling. It's a sport that I love more than any other. And so I have a great job, but in terms of the prep, I think it's a continuous thing. In order to do this show justice and the sport justice, I kind of feel as if you have to live it. And the great thing about our show is that we have a huge number of people who do. I always joke and say that if I were an insurance adjuster or a plumber or a mechanic or a machinist, I'd be awful at it, because all I'd be spending my time on would be thinking about and reading about college football.
You know, Reese, I still think that College Football Game Day is the greatest show. It's the reason why we get kicked off for football. I still remember watching it the first time as a player in 1996 and getting to hear Herbie, and now you're a part of this. Can you walk me through, really? I was always been curious, is that what are the details of when you decide to pick a game? Is there like a giant pinball? You just spin and you go, oh, let's go here. I mean, who's the influencers? Are you guys sitting around going, hey, this looks good, we've been over here, or maybe we need to go out to the Pac-12? How does that end up working with you guys? Do you have influence?
It's a week-to-week thing. And what we try to do is go where the best story is every week. Now, a lot of times, that is the biggest game in terms of who are the two highest ranked teams playing each other, or the game with the most significance as it pertains to the playoff picture or something of that. A lot of times those two things are one and the same. But there are other times when there's an opportunity to tell a great story or to go to a great venue, and that might carry the day. For instance, when PJ Fleck was at Western Michigan a couple of years ago, we went to Kalamazoo, even though they were playing a Buffalo team that was good now, but that year they weren't very good. But the story was that Western was undefeated, and they were a player in college football. There was not a marquee game on the schedule that week, and it was a great opportunity to showcase that program, that city, and the program and the job they were doing, and tell a story. So there are a lot of factors that go into it. We do have a tremendous amount of input into where we're going. And usually that discussion starts pretty much as soon as the previous show's over. Actually, you know, we're already a couple of weeks in advance, at least in terms of discussions. And then you watch the results and the stories and how things unfold, and then you make a decision. Most of the time we hope it's right. Sometimes I'm sure fans don't like the decisions we make. But, you know, typically I think our batting average is pretty good on choosing the right venue. Yeah.
And I certainly agree. You mentioned about picking because of rankings. I want to get your thoughts on this. You see big teams go down this year, or already last week with Wisconsin losing, and both the Pac-12 and the Big Ten had rough weeks, you know, from their big significant teams, USC on the road. You're looking at rankings early in the year. How does it feel for you when you go, man, everybody gets buoyed up and excited for their teams because somebody told us we're the sixth ranked team when really you're not? And does rankings, do you feel that rankings are a little bit out of control at the beginning and the only ones that really matter are the ones that come out in October?
Well, I mean, the answer to both questions, I mean, first of all, the ones that really matter are the ones that come out in October. But I do think that there's a real value to the preseason rankings as long as they're used the way in which they're intended. I'm an AP poll voter, and I try to move teams around early. I certainly have perceptions of what I expect and rank them in the preseason accordingly. But, you know, I moved Texas A&M from unranked to number 15 after they lost to Clemson because I went through it and I was like, I don't know that there are 25 teams or 15 teams that I would expect or think could play this Clemson team that I have ranked number two to a 2-point conversion potentially from away from going to overtime. So I think as long as voters do that, it's okay to have these early season rankings. You're right in saying that the only ones that matter are the ones that come out from the playoff selection committee. That's in the context of determining who's the champion. But Ralph Russo, who's with the Associated Press, he and I were having this discussion a few weeks ago, and I would love to have said it as eloquently as he did, but the AP poll gives you some historical context for a sport that we love. And it's, you know, for instance, I've heard people say, well, let's do away with the AP poll. It's no good. It doesn't do anything. I mean, for instance, they didn't have LSU ranked high enough. Well, why do you think LSU is good now? Because they beat two teams that you had in the preseason top 10. That's right. Why you think they're good. And, you know, the truth of the matter is they did beat good teams. And so, you know, I think people like to get wound up about it. But I think there's real historical value and contextual value to having the poll. And it's just incumbent on us as voters to reflect what we see and be earnest in not trying to validate any prediction we might have made.
Reese Davis, ESPN's College Game Day, is our guest. They're coming to town. Eugene, the 10th trip out. I heard Kirk Herbstreit was on with Golic and Wingo earlier this morning, and he mentioned something, about there's this perception, and people kind of forget about the Pac-12 outside of the South and back East. What do you think is the biggest issue plaguing the Pac-12's perception right now?
Probably that there right now there's not the guaranteed, bona fide, heavyweight national championship contender. Washington had an opportunity to perhaps be that and came up a little short against Auburn. Had Washington won that game against Auburn, maybe it would be a little different. And look, I think I would be trying to be too politically correct or whatever the right phrase might be if we didn't state the obvious. When USC is a power in the conference, the whole perception of the conference is elevated. When Chip had Oregon really going, the perception of the conference was elevated. You need a giant. I know people say that they're tired of seeing the same teams in the playoff, and I understand that to a degree, but in the history of sports, all sports, we always have had the juggernauts that everybody is trying to slay. And when the Pac-12 has a team like that, I think it elevates the perception of the entire conference. The reality of it, in my judgment, is that there are some really good teams in the North. There is instability and mediocrity, candidly, right now in the South, which may change over the next couple of years. But I think there are some really good teams in the Pac-12 North, and teams, as Washington proved against Auburn, who, despite the loss to LSU, is really, really good, that can play with and potentially beat anybody.
So, you know, you mentioned, Reese, if Washington does win that game, but then, you know, they go and lose to LSU. So what my understanding is, and maybe with it wouldn't have helped the Pac-12 if we stood where we are right now. But I wonder if you feel, I mean, being from, you know, you went to Alabama, but I'm not saying there's a bias there. Does the SEC just do it smarter than every other conference? You know, 8 conference games, taking care of their big teams and understanding is here on. We'll boo up and say, oh, we got 9 conference games in the conference, and yet you play on Friday nights and these times on the road twice. It's just the SEC just doing things a little bit more intelligently in college football to give their top teams a better chance?
I'm not sure I'm quite following you other than the 8 game thing, which I wish they would change. I would like to see them play 9 or even 10 conference games. I'd like to see everybody do that. because I think it makes for more entertaining games. I don't have, you know, a big problem with as it stands right now with teams playing. Alabama and Auburn particularly are the ones who do this. They play an FCS team before their rivalry game. That was, not to go too far down a rabbit hole, but that was a reaction because when the SEC championship game first came into being, Alabama and Auburn got together, which is a rarity, and said, you know, this is such an emotional game. Why don't we move this game back a week so that if one of us is in the SEC championship game, we have a week off to recover. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not fair because Florida was playing Florida State and Georgia was playing Georgia Tech that week. And you know, so that's an unfair advantage. So they made them move it back. And so what their response was, both of them filled it in with an FCS team. They only do it once. I don't have a big problem with it, with that part of it. But I would like to see the SEC and the ACC, for that matter, move to 9 or 10 conference mm-hmm. games and hopefully play one against another Power Five. And then whatever you choose to do with the other one, if that's FCS or, you know, Conference USA or the American or the Mountain West or whatever, I mean, that's fine.
Reese Davis of ESPN College Game Day. It's your fourth season hosting College Game Day. And this is your first trip to Eugene as Game Day host. Have you ever had the Autzen experience before this weekend?
I'm not sure Duck fans are going to want to hear this, but okay. I called the game when Mariota and the Ducks lost to Rich Rod in Arizona. Oh. But I've called a couple of other games there. They destroyed Cal. In a game I had there, and I can't maybe Arizona State another time, but yeah, I've been to Austin several times and called games there when I was doing Thursday nights. So it's one of my favorite places to go see a game. I'm looking forward to staying for the game late Saturday afternoon Pacific time. So it's a tremendous venue for college football. It's a hidden gem, and I tell a lot of people around the country, they say, you know, what place should I go to? And you know, it's obvious that there are a lot of places, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, LSU, Auburn, that are great places to go. But I say the one you should go try is Oregon. I said it's loud, it's intimate. I said it's a great college football experience. So I'm always excited when we get a chance to go to Eugene.
Well, you will be there this weekend. And that was the other question that I had, actually. How often, you're going to stay for this one, how often do you end up staying for the games when you guys roll into town? What does your week usually look like when you get in and when you leave?
I'll get in Thursday, and you know, we've been doing prep. The prep and show planning and so forth is a continuous thing. We had the producer and I had an individual call yesterday in which we kind of hammered out things we wanted to do, and then we got a few more guys on the phone for quite a while yesterday. And even while I was on Get Up, there were a few texts exchanged during break this morning about always the show. Working. So that's a continuous process. I'll start paring down what I want to get in on Thursday. And even though we don't have teleprompter or scripts per se, you know, I still write the show on Friday because you want to have a good command of what you want to talk about and notes that you want to get in and make sure that, you know, you're mentioning, plenty of games and particularly teams that are relevant and teams that might be surprising. So I'll do all that. I'll probably sleep, you know, maybe 4 hours Friday night before, and that's normal. It's not just because we'll be on West Coast time, and we'll go in and get it rolling from there. And then typically I stay for the game. I think it helps me, not only allows me to sit on the bus, which Herb Street and I joke is the best part of our day, sitting on the bus watching games. Yeah. But it gives you, I think it gives you a good command of teams for the following week. You know, there might be an occasion when there's a, you know, something going on in the family or something like that when you have to bolt out of there, or there have been instances where I could get back quickly enough so that I could watch everything at home, and, you know, it saves you time. But I would say 90% of the time I stay for the game. Hmm.
Outstanding. Reese Davis, ESPN's College Game Day. It'll be in Eugene this week, the 10th appearance. Ducks 7-2 all time when Game Day's in town. And thank you for your time.
Thanks, Reese, very much.
Coug fans in our area, they just want everybody to know, Washington State, they're begging you.
Someday.
Get up there.
I've called a game there. Obviously, Game Day hasn't been there. We are dying lousy to get the show there. I think that would be one of the all-time great scenes if we could get the show to the Palouse this year.
Thanks a lot, Reese. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. See you later.
There he is, Reese Davis of ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.